Question of Balance with your host, Ruth Coplin. In the first hour of the show, we ask questions that matter, discussing topics with local relevance and global significance. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
I hope you've had a good week in the last week since we were last together, if you were listening last week. And if you are a regular listener or you've listened to the show before, welcome back. I'm glad to have you. And if you're a new listener, this is the first time you've joined us, I'd like to let you know this is a two-hour show combining thought-provoking conversations with people out and about on the street on different topics each week, and also conversations in-depth with special guests from the arts, both local, national and international. And for the arts interview in the second hour, I'm pleased to be interviewing author, illustrator and printer Michael Wirtz. Based in Oakland, California, Michael creates images for books, products, designers, ad agencies, musicians, publishers and movie trailers. His images start with the pencil and finish as digital collages, mono prints, letterpress prints and screen prints. He's got a whole variety of clients, including the San Francisco Chronicle, Camper Van Beethoven, Camelback, the De Young Museum, Random House, the New York Times, Nike, the Oakland Museum, Scholastic, the SF MoMA, United Way and Wired, to name but a few. And he's also author of the delightful illustrated book Dog Days, and with co-author Betty Franco, a curious collection of cats, a dazzling display of dogs, and recently released a spectacular selection of sea critters. He creates wonderfully arresting images, so I'm looking forward to finding out more about his life and art, and I hope you can join us. So that's coming up in the second hour. In this hour, we're considering, can gratitude be an attitude of life? With Thanksgiving here in America just behind us, I thought it would be a good idea to get thoughts for this year. This is sort of a tradition that I do each year, on what it means to be grateful and whether being grateful is a good approach to life, whether it does make a difference. And as usual, I've been out and about getting opinions on the street, hopefully to get us thinking about things. And basically, I'm just talking to the people who agree to speak to me. I'm not trying to weight the issue on any particular side. I feature all the people who I interview, and I'm very grateful to them for stopping and giving me some of their time. So let's hear my first conversation. Hello, my name's Ruth Coplin from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
Caitlin.
Hazel Lily.
Great. Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're considering, can gratitude be an attitude of life? So first of all, I'd like to ask you, do you tend to see life as a sort of glass half empty or glass half full, would you say?
Absolutely half full.
Yeah? And you?
Totally half full. I think we're pretty similar. So we're going to have similar answers.
Okay. Social psychologist Eric Seligman from said, who will tell whether one happy moment of love or the joy of breathing or walking on a bright morning and smelling the fresh air is not worth all the suffering and effort which life implies? So I'm wondering whether you've ever been going through hard times and you've kind of actively made yourself focus on the good things.
To be brutally honest, I was homeless at one point, and I remember one time it was freezing like this. I was living in Los Gatos, which is a city nearby, and I thought I had frostbite on my feet. So I come out of my tent, and I come up to the railroad tracks, and I feel the sun coming on me, and it's like really pretty, and the birds are out, and I see a squirrel, and I was just full of gratitude just for like the forest and just the pretty sights, and I was just grateful at that moment, even though I was in a difficult situation.
Right.
Just the surrounding world and God's creation was just awesome.
That's an amazing story, because I imagine if you're homeless, that's a pretty harsh, brutal place to find yourself in.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. Oh, well, good for you. And do you feel that keeping that attitude helped you to get out of that situation?
It was my driving force, absolutely.
Right, yes. And what about you? Do you feel you've ever been in a challenging situation where you've actively sort of thought, right, I'm going to have a positive attitude?
I definitely have. I mean, I not as challenging as hers, but I've struggled with, like, anxiety, like, really right. bad anxiety at points of my life. And I've had a similar experience to, like, hers, where just, like, nature and the beauty in the world in general
right.
Has been sort of like a lighthouse. And like a beacon, kind of like showing me the way that in every moment, like, you are still so insanely blessed.
Right.
And, I mean, I believe that it's okay to be in touch with whatever feelings you're having,
yeah.
whatever
yeah.
appropriate feelings are going on. But sometimes if you just quiet everything down, you see that, like, the love and the beauty is literally always there.
Right. Yeah.
In so many forms.
Yeah. Some people feel that trying to feel grateful all the time is being a Pollyanna. I don't know if you're familiar with that phrase. It comes from the 1913 best-selling novel by Eleanor H. Porter about a young orphan who goes to live with her wealthy aunt, and she learns the glad game from her father, and it consists of finding something to be glad about in any situation. And nowadays the term is used almost exclusively in a derogatory sense to describe someone who's, like, relentlessly optimistic, unrealistically so, the pragmatist would say. So I'm wondering whether you see this kind of optimism, sort of seeing life through rose-tinted glasses, as an avoidance of dealing with life as it really is. I mean, do you think there are any negatives to being positive and grateful, or do you think that's people just being curmudgeonly? Or
Well, that's kind of a tough question, but what I would say is it's okay to have emotions and feelings and sadness and anger. It's okay to deal with those things in a positive way.
Right.
I think reacting in a negative way is really, it's just not good for our soul. It's not good for the people around us. So I think not to stay positive and to maybe push away those feelings or those circumstances, but to actually deal with them hands-on. And you really have to think in gratitude, though, like constantly
right.
thinking in that mindset.
Yeah. What about you? Do you think there's any negatives to being positive and seeing half full?
I kind of feel like I have just naturally always had rose-tinted glasses.
Oh, yeah?
Like, my parents have always told me that, and they're kind of hoping at some point they'll get the realistic color. But it just kind of hit me one day that I don't know if I even want it to necessarily be the realistic color. Like, I feel like it's,
yeah.
to me, it's like a form of the way I want to look at life.
Yes.
But again, like, I also, like, agree with her. Like, I think there's a difference between looking at life positively and, like, not being in touch with where you're at. And I have seen
yeah.
that with people where they're
yeah.
so obsessed with being grateful, but they're actually not
dealing.
Being in touch
yeah.
with what else is happening inside of them.
Yeah.
And I think we are human and we have a wider, like, spectrum of emotions,
yeah. Yeah.
and they all absolutely need to be honored.
Right.
But yeah, we can have a rose umbrella over
right.
it all.
Yes. And I think part of that is it's to do with perspective. When people say, oh, you know, you're not looking at the real world. Well, who gets to define what
exactly.
is the real world? I think we all get to define what our world is real for us. Do you agree with
right.
that?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I think perspective is everything. And we all have a very, very different perspective. Does not mean someone else's is wrong by any means. It just means that it's how we choose to look through our own eyes.
Yes. Yeah.
And how we choose to react.
Yeah. And do you agree?
I think I do. And I think it has a lot to do with sort of like fear and security. Like, I feel like a lot of the times that perspective of wanting to be realistic has a lot to do with wanting to be safe and doing
right.
things in a realistic manner, so
yeah.
you can kind of, but it involves not taking risks, which usually
right.
involves being optimistic and
yeah.
Trusting
right.
in the outcome.
Yes, yeah.
And in your own perspective when you arrive at it.
Right, yeah. No, I would agree with that. Well, thank you so much for your opinions.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much.
And you have a very sparkly personality, and let me say, I just love it.
Thank you very much. That's very nice of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my conversations on the street this week. That was very kind of Hazel Lily there, what she had to say. So particularly as it was so cold, I think perhaps I was trying to be a bit more sparkly to try and make up for the fact that it was absolutely freezing. But anyway, it's nice that she said that. So thanks to her again. The next person that I spoke to was Edgar. So let's hear what he has to say. Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thanks for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
My name's Edgar.
Well, thanks, Edgar, for taking part in our Out and About feature. This week, we're considering, can gratitude be an attitude of life? So, first of all, I wanted to ask you, do you tend to look at life as a glass half empty or a glass half full, do you think?
You know, I've always thought about that question. I'm not too sure. I think I'd say half full, because I think it's always better to have a positive outlook on things, you know.
Right, yeah. There's a tombstone inscription in Britain called These Small Candles, and it says, in moments of discouragement, defeat, or even despair, there are always certain things to cling to. Little things, usually. Remembered laughter, the face of a sleeping child, a tree in the wind. In fact, any reminder of something deeply felt or dearly loved. No man is so poor as not to have many of these small candles. When they are lighted, darkness goes away, and a touch of wonder remains. So I'm wondering whether you've ever been going through hard times and you've sort of made yourself focus on good things and whether that helped you at all.
Oh yeah, that's definitely the way to go, you know. When you're going through tough times, you always want to make sure you have something good to fall back on, you know, good thoughts.
Yeah.
Can't stay negative, you know.
I mean, it's quite hard to do that when yeah, something's yeah, difficult. Yeah. How do you make yourself do that?
Well, you know, eventually you just have to realize that, you know, you got to move past that and you got to look at the good things. So it's the way to go.
Yeah. Some people are critical of a kind of positive, grateful approach to life. They think that it's naive and it's sort of seeing life through rose-tinted glasses and it's not seeing kind of real life. I mean, do you see any negatives with being positive and grateful, do you think?
I don't know. I think the majority of people would probably look at things more negative, you know. If you're able to realize, you know, the world isn't perfect, you know, but you do your part, you know, just being positive is the way to be. If not, then people can live how they want, you know.
Yeah. Do you think if you are trying to be positive, that could make you sort of be in denial at all of difficult situations or emotions, or do you think that it's possible to be positive and deal with hard things?
I think it's possible to deal with it, you know, when things come down, shit hits the fan, you know, they say you just got to get through it, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah. So for you, definitely focusing on the positive is a positive
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, you always got to look at the positive things in life, you know, the brighter side.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your opinion. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, anytime.
Thank you. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations. And remember, if you have any comments, you can email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. And also, if you want to check out previous guests and topics, all the shows are podcasted at the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com. So I hope you might check that out. There's photographs of all the guests and info about them and links to their sites and things like that, as well as all the topics that we've covered. We're going to go to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversation on this week's topic, can gratitude be an attitude of life, after these messages.
Like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland? Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com.
About you.
It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore, and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 48 years. We are a one-stop shop for all your holiday needs, including books, gifts, children's books, toys, holiday cards, puzzles, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right gift for everyone on your list. If you want something special, we feature mini autograph books by best-selling authors at no extra charge. If you can't get downtown, our website has 3.2 million titles, which ship directly to your home. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations this hour on our topic this week, can gratitude be an attitude of life? Well, the next person that I spoke to was James. Let's hear his thoughts. Hello, my name is Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Dr. James Pick, P-H-C-K.
Well, James, thank you very much for stopping for our Out and About feature. Mm-hmm. And this week, we're thinking about, can gratitude be an attitude of life? Okay. So I'm wondering, do you tend to look at life as glass half empty or glass half full, would you say?
Glass half full.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Okay. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a pastor, theologian, and German resistance fighter in World War II, he said, in ordinary life, we hardly realize that we receive a great deal more than we give, and that it is only with gratitude that life becomes rich. I'm wondering whether you've ever been going through hard times, but sort of made yourself focus on the good things, and whether that helped?
Absolutely. Medical school, for one, was a major chore. Residency was a major chore. Working in the ghetto of Chicago was a major eye-opener for me.
Right.
And what I have found that helps me survive is an attitude of gratitude.
Right.
On this earth. If you don't have gratitude, you have nothing, really.
Right.
There's so much for us to be grateful for. And that's kind of the philosophy I have run by for years.
Yes, yeah.
Sorry if I didn't answer your question.
No, you did. You did. I mean, a lot of people just say that the world's too depressing to have a great platitude.
This is my feeling.
Okay.
We create our own realities.
Right, yeah.
That's my feel. By the choices we make.
Right, okay.
And we all give them free will. And I'm not religious. However, by the choices we make, I think we create our own reality.
Right, yes.
Okay, does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, it does. Some people are critical of a sort of that approach to life. They think it's naive and, you know, maybe it's seeing life through rose-tinted glasses. Are there negatives to being positive and grateful, do you think? Or?
Well, I'll tell you, my most depressed times in this existence of mine have been times when I forgot to be grateful, forgot to be forgiving, forgot to be thankful for what I have.
Yeah.
Those were the deepest, darkest times I have experienced on this earth.
Mm. So having a grateful attitude really
Absolutely.
Has been what's kept you going
in
life.
Yes, yeah. As a doctor. Yeah. I see death every day, almost.
Right.
You know, and it keeps me going.
Yeah.
Has to.
Yeah. I mean, does it help you in any way to explain the negative things? Do you
know, there's so much negativity on this earth right now, and we are in a major crisis on this globe in so many dimensions. You know, just look at the news. It's horrific what's going on.
Yeah.
The fact is, you know, right now as we stand here, this is our reality right now. I don't see ISIS anywhere.
Right. No.
You see?
Yeah, yeah.
So I tend to live, if this makes any sense, for the moment, for the day.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, because there's certain things we cannot change.
No.
And there are entities above us, the so-called elitists.
Yeah.
Who think they know what to do.
Right.
But these are just people.
Yeah, yeah. Also, what you're saying is making me think that we have so much negativity in the news. I mean, every day.
Absolutely.
Far more wonderful good things are happening than bad things.
And we don't see them.
No, exactly.
The media is propaganda. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you agree with me on that.
Yeah. Well, some of it is.
Some of it is.
Is to do with the fact that it's to do with threat. You know, it's like you don't need to know that people are happy to be safe in the world, but you do need to know people are happy to feel good in the world.
Absolutely.
And I think what you're saying by having an attitude of gratitude, that's what you're doing, is you're seeing that there is so much good.
There is so much good. Yeah. You just need to look for it.
Yeah.
Okay. And if we all began looking for the good, so a lot of this negativity may start going away again.
Yeah.
Look at history. It's gone in cycles.
Mm.
Over and over again. It repeats itself. Why? People forget their history lessons.
Right. Yes, that's very
big time.
Yeah.
And they lose track, in my mind, of that attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
And forgiveness, which is absolutely essential, because it sets us free.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for your opinions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my Out and About feature, where I have conversations with people on the street on the week's topic. And perhaps as you listen, you can wonder how you might have responded to the questions had I stopped you and you had agreed to speak to me, even though it was sub-zero temperatures. So thank you very much again to everyone this week. It has turned very cold, and so it was more of an effort, I would say, to talking to me than usual. So thanks to everybody. If you have any comments, do email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. If you have thoughts about your ideas on whether gratitude can be an attitude of life. My next conversation is with Sid, Silish and Vicky. So let's hear their thoughts. Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
Vicky?
Silish.
Sid.
Thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. This week we're thinking about, can gratitude be an attitude of life? So first of all, I'm wondering, do you tend to look at life as a glass half empty or half full, would you say?
I think half full, because I appreciate what all opportunities I'm given.
Okay.
And trying to make as much as it is, and then try to look at obstacles as challenges that I can overcome and take them as positive motivation.
Right, okay. What about you? Do you see life as half full or half empty?
I mean, I see it as half full. I think you play the cards you dealt, and I think you should look at that as an opportunity and not as... not an opportunity, if you know what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. What about you?
I don't know. It could be half empty, because it's like, you know, there's half a cup left to fill.
Yes,
so you think about what you can fill it with.
Yeah. Yo, that's a good way of looking at it. Yeah, yeah. But that's kind of a positive way of looking, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I know what you mean. Yeah, that's an interesting comment, actually. Yeah. If we are able to look at life positively, do you think it makes a difference to how we feel about our lives?
I think it's sort of, I probably am talking to, like, I don't know, psychologically, it's sort of the energy that I sort of live off.
Uh-huh.
When I get a positive vibe from someone, I just feel happy to talk to them and probably want to continue the conversation more.
Right.
And I feel that that's a good thing, being positive.
Yeah.
And I think being positive, again, like, keeps you alive and, like, going at it even when you're faced with difficult situations in life.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
You just saying that made me think in Eastern philosophy there's a concept, satsang, where you associate with people who are of a similar nature to you. So if you want to be positive, that you would associate with positive people, is that something you're aware of and maybe try to do in your life?
I think that I basically get all my energy from like the energy that people sort of like give the vibes out, and that's totally true. And I think it's a very subjective thing, and I'm like that.
Yes.
And I sort of like live off positive energy that I get from people, and I like talking to people who are like me.
Yes.
And probably like I can hang out more with people like that. That's why I'm hanging out with these guys.
Okay. So what do you think? Do you think it's a good idea to try and be with people who are positive? Do you try and do that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely. I think you need to surround yourself with positive people, because there are a lot of people out there who are like spending their whole lives trying to get something and not looking at the positive things while they're doing that. So I think it's really important to be positive, because once you get it, like, what do? They keep trying to achieve more and more.
Yes.
But they're not staying positive at the same time.
I see.
So you need to be around positive people.
Yeah.
So that you don't miss out on opportunities in life.
Yeah. Would you agree, or?
Yeah, like you just said, satsang, it's a Hindi word which essentially means living with a community of people that think alike.
Mm-hmm.
So it does help being in such a community, keeps you motivated, and I think it takes you in the right way.
Yes, yeah. In psychology, there's a term, flight to health, and this describes a situation where suddenly problems or symptoms that a person was experiencing seem to disappear magically, and suddenly everything is okay. And this can happen consciously or unconsciously, but usually it's serving to protect the person from exploring painful emotions or taking positive actions that might be daunting or difficult, even though they would enhance that person's life. So by creating a reality where all problems have miraculously disappeared and everything is wonderful, sort of like happy, happy, joy, joy, you know, nothing from the shadow side has to be dealt with. So I'm wondering whether you think if we have a philosophy of kind of being grateful all the time, could that encourage us to sort of gloss over hard emotions and avoid dealing with difficult situations because we're kind of distracting ourselves by being happy all the time? Or do you think it's possible to have that positive, grateful approach and also be aware and dealing with difficult things?
I think that the answer to this is to be realistic and not just like sugarcoat things and just think that, oh, everything's awesome and it'll fall into place.
Uh-huh.
If you do not take the effort or the hard work, it's not going to fall into place by itself.
Right.
Like, things can be, you know, your fate, but you have to take some sort of step towards achieving that goal.
Yeah.
And I feel that you'll be more grateful and appreciate whatever small achievements or big achievements in your life if you work to it, because you'll feel like it's earned and it'll probably stick to you more. And then if you don't achieve it, and then you'll sort of take it as like an internal motivation.
Yes.
And work towards making,
okay,
going towards that goal that you finally want to achieve.
Yeah.
So I would want to look at, like, right now I'm facing a problem. I want to like switch fields in job.
Okay.
And I have to take specific steps towards achieving that goal. Otherwise, I won't appreciate it. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my sort of view. And just not everything is happy, happy, joy, joy as it comes. Yeah.
Okay. What about you? Do you think having that grateful, positive approach can make us avoid dealing with things we should be dealing with?
I mean, I think we should embrace the hardships in life, like, mm-hmm, in the sense, I mean, realistically, it's not going to go away, not for most of the people. So I think it's something we have to embrace so that we have something to look forward to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really great being positive all the time, but like I said, it's not possible for everybody.
Yeah.
So it's really good to embrace the hardships you have, the failures you have. Like, it's a stepping stone to success.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think it's I choose to look at it as a good thing.
Yeah.
Right. So I have something to look forward to.
Yeah. I think also, you know, there's that thing of the contrast, you know, that feeling pain and feeling sorrow or whatever also allows you to know what it is to be happy and to feel joy.
True.
And I think, you know, it is important to process those things. It's not like, I mean, life is full of those things, as you said, and it's part of the tapestry of life. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that's totally right. It's not, you should also know that it's always not unicorns and rainbows. And a lot of times it's the hard stuff that, you know, ends up teaching you a lot of things which you could put to good use.
Yes.
That doesn't mean you should not look into the happy stuff. You shouldn't get overwhelmed with all the hardships.
Yeah.
You should have an equal balance of both of them. And I think that goes a long way.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen this movie called Pixar, Inside Out by Pixar. It actually, like, the moral of the whole, just, I hope I'm not killing it for anyone who hasn't watched it, is, like, you have to have sorrow in your life to feel that happiness.
Okay.
So yeah. That was, like, a very good outlook to the whole being sad, being happy, because yes. You can't have one without the other.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think that's true. I think another aspect of someone else I was talking to, we were sort of talking about how the media just focuses so much on the negative and hard things, that I think having an attitude of gratitude is one way of noticing that actually I think there are far more good things happening than bad things. It just doesn't feel like that. I mean, is that something you feel?
Well, media just does things to gain, like, their public ratings. I think that they just pick on, suppose there's, like, a research that's done for something awesome, they just, and 98% of that research is good, they just pick on that 2%, which is not good, and then just blow it up, and sort of, like, portray it, because negative things attract people's attention more quickly than positive things, and that's what they're doing right now.
Yeah.
Some media, well, not all media, some of them are doing pretty well and they're doing it for, like, the own common good, but most of the media, well, that's my outlook, but I'm sure people have different opinions.
I think, I mean, like, historically we're living in the most peaceful times in the world, but we're more connected now, which is why, like she said, the media focuses on the bad things, because so people feel like there's a lot of bad stuff happening now. It happened much more in the past. It's just that people didn't know about it.
No.
Right?
So ignorance is bliss.
Right. So there's a lot of good stuff happening now, but since people are so used to a lot of the good stuff, the media focuses on the negative stuff, and people feel there's more negative energy when actually there's a lot of good happening right now.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably good to focus on that too, equally or even more, actually.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I think I totally agree with what the two of them said.
Yes.
It's probably the negative stuff that gathers more attention, that piques the interest of people. You'd want to click on a link that tells you there's something bad behind it than someone being, doing good things. And
why do you think that is? Do you think it's the threat aspect?
Could be that with all the things happening in the world these days, I think you're just scared.
Yeah.
About things,
right.
And you want to know what's happening and what you should do about it.
Yeah.
Instead, if someone did something nice to someone, you'll be like, that's good. I don't want to know more about it, but I'm glad that there are people like this in the world.
I guess it just occurred to me the antithesis to that is, like, the obsession with, say, kitten videos or something. I mean, that's the kind of the happy things people are looking at. It's not very meaningful, perhaps, but it is something.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your opinions. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you.
I thought this was like a light conversation, and then it was so interesting to get such deep stuff out of this. So thank you so much for that. So it's like a good occasion on Thanksgiving that you sort of get at the meaningful stuff out of life.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking part. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It was so good to talk to you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and these are my on-the-street conversations for this week. We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversation after these messages.
Did you know about the Santa Cruz Art League on Broadway in Santa Cruz? Founded in 1919, it's 96 years young and provides a wonderful gallery space for local and national artists. It's a great place to view art with 14 shows a year, and also to gain support if you're an artist yourself. There are art classes and weekend workshops, many taught by open studio artists. If you become a member, you receive a newsletter, discounts on classes, gifts and exhibit entries, images of your art on the Art League website, and guaranteed participation in the annual members show. It's also a great place to meet artists. Visit the Santa Cruz Art League at 562 Broadway or the website at scal.org. That's scal.org.
Hi, this is Jackie from Integrity Event Planning. Are you coordinating an event? Don't know how you'll get it all done? Stop sweating the small stuff. We plan everything from family events to fundraising and corporate events. Contact Integrity Event Planning for your next event. Check out our website, integrityeventplanning.com. Integrity, it's what sets us apart. With 16 years of experience, we negotiate with your bottom line and needs in mind. So sit back and relax and let us serve the champagne. We've got this.
For your next event, visit integrityeventplanning.com. That's integrityeventplanning.com.
Dream, baby, dream.
Listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street interviews for the Out and About feature, which I do each week on a different topic. This week, as we're so close to Thanksgiving, I'm doing Can Gratitude Be an Attitude of Life? And if you have any comments about this, do email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. Also, I wanted to remind you, my guest in the second hour is the delightfully creative author, illustrator and printer Michael Wirtz. So I'm looking forward to talking to him. I hope you can join us. Well, let's hear another of my on the street conversations now. Next up are Tamara and Andy. Hello, my name is Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
I'm Tamara.
And I'm Andy.
Well, thanks so much for stopping, Tamara and Andy, and taking part in Out and About. This week we're considering, can gratitude be an attitude of life? I'm wondering, would you say you tend to see life half full or half empty?
Oh, way more than half full. We live in the most beautiful place you can imagine. We feel very fortunate in life. I don't see how things could get any better.
Great. What about you?
I too am grateful, and the glass is more than half full for me.
I'm wondering, is that the attitude you've always had in life, or is that something that you've come to appreciate life in a different way and have that attitude?
Well, I think I've always been pretty optimistic and looking for the bright side of things and looking for the best. Mm-hmm. But, obviously in times of adversity, just such an attitude would really help you to get back to that over half full place.
Yeah. What about you? Do you think you've always had this kind of positive outlook?
Well, to varying degrees, it ebbs and flows. I've been through some difficult periods. But I've tried to have a positive vision and work hard to achieve it. Try to be grateful for the friends and family that I have.
Some people think that the kind of attitude you're talking about is sort of being a bit of a Pollyanna, that it's unrealistic, it's kind of rose-tinting life, and that it's not very helpful, that we should see life as it really is, not having this kind of rosy view of it. Do you think there are any negatives to seeing life in a very positive way?
Well, my nickname was Mary Poppins for many years, so that wasn't too cool, but, and it's not that I don't see suffering in the world and pain and even nearby, but I think, again, if you give energy to negativity, you perpetrate it, and if you always look for how to go on and keep a cheerful attitude, that it's helpful.
Yeah. What about you? Do you think there's any downside to, you know, being rosy all the time?
Well, I think if you're unrealistic, perhaps you might get blindsided. But I think I'm fairly realistic, and I think a positive attitude is helpful.
I mean, do you think it's perspective that enables you to be like that? You know, because you can look at a situation, it can be really, really difficult, and you can appreciate that, but maybe with a different perspective, it allows you to contextualize what you're experiencing and see that there are some good things still.
Well, when I encounter difficulty, I try to believe that I'm going to overcome it, so I look forward to better times. And I think when I'll be more grateful for having survived the adversity.
Yeah. There's also some people think that it can make us avoid dealing with our sort of shadow and I guess, you know, being in denial about things, if you're sort of just being so positive, that it's a kind of defense in a way. Is that something you're aware of in how, you know, you lead your life?
I think that could be a real and valid danger or downside to that. It's not that I don't feel emotions, the highs and the lows, but I think, again, I just feel like I've been so fortunate in life, and there's always someone who's got such a harder situation.
Yes.
That it would seem inappropriate to not feel gratitude for how good it is.
Yeah. And what about you?
I agree with that point entirely. I mean, when I encounter adversity, I do tend to think, well, there are a lot of people that have it worse off than me. I mean, refugees from Syria, trying to make a new home elsewhere and having trouble at the border and losing lives. And, well, I don't have it nearly that bad. I can certainly endure what I'm going through.
So being positive there doesn't stop you kind of dealing with issues within yourself that perhaps, you know, need dealing with, if you know what I mean. I'm not saying right now, but through your life.
Sometimes I think maybe I fail to deal with some things that I need to in my life. Overlook important things, important people, take them for granted. Maybe because I'm being too positive, and that can blindside you, and then you realize, oh, wait a minute, maybe I'm not paying attention to things, and
okay. Well, I really appreciate your opinions. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ruth.
Thank you, Ruth.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and this week's conversations on the street. And thanks very much there to my interviewees for talking on, as I said earlier, a very, very cold night. And the next person that I spoke to was Diana. So let's hear what she had to say. Plum Plum, it's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
My name's Diana.
Well, thanks for talking to me, Diana, for our Out and About feature. And this week we're considering, can gratitude be an attitude of life? Firstly, I'm wondering, do you look at life as a glass half full or half empty, would you say?
Half full.
Yeah. William Arthur Ward, who is an author, educator, motivational speaker, he said, gratitude can transform common days into thanksgivings, turn routine jobs into joy, and change ordinary opportunities into blessings. I'm wondering, have you ever been going through hard times but made yourself focus on the good things, and did it help?
Well, yes, there's been many, many occasions, I think, really. As a small child, I grew up during the World War II, and spent a lot of time down air raid shelters, and I was always very grateful the next morning that I was still alive, particularly when we'd had a bomb demolish three homes 500 yards from our our shelter. Yes, I was very grateful on many occasions during that awful period. But there are other times too, you know, that I have felt very blessed, very grateful. I tried very hard to have a child, and I was always disappointed that I could only get so far with my pregnancies and would lose the baby. But I never, ever gave up hope. I never, ever felt, you know, that I could not go forward. And eventually, after my fourth attempt, I was successful. So I was very, very grateful for that.
And where do you think this, looking at things positively, came from? I mean, did it come from your family, or was it something innate?
I think probably it came from an uncle who was a lay preacher, and he introduced me to Sunday school when I was really very, very young. And that was the first time that I understood the power of prayer. And many, many times when I was very down or daunted by what was happening to me, I always felt grateful that I knew that I had a support system through prayer. Mm. And it never, ever failed me.
Mm. Some people feel that, you know, trying to be grateful all the time is not helpful, because it doesn't, you know, you're not facing life as it really is. You know, they sort of think, oh, you're just looking at everything through rose-tinted glasses. I mean, do you think there is any negative to being positive and grateful?
Well, I'm not like that. I mean, there are many times when I do feel very down and perhaps, you know, lose sight of the fact that I am very blessed and have a lot of things in my life that a lot of people don't. So I wouldn't say I'm perfect. No. I couldn't say that I've got rose-tinted spectacles and look at everything absolutely perfectly. No.
Yeah. Some people feel that, you know, people who are relentlessly positive, they're sort of ignoring their shadow in a way, or not looking, or in denial, I suppose. You know, it's like, oh, everything's wonderful, you know. Do you think that is a downside, where perhaps if people don't understand what a gratitude practice is, that it means that they actually don't look at things that they need to look at? Or do you think it's possible to be grateful and do both?
No, I don't think you can do both. I think that if you're in denial and you're trying to put a brave face on things and not really getting to the root of the problem, is not a good thing, and that's negative. It's not positive. But you know, some people do like to go through life trying to keep a brave face on things, and you can't discourage that. But at the same time, I do think that probably in the end they have to face up to the situation that they're perhaps not wanting to face.
Do you think they're mutually exclusive, or do you think you can have an attitude of gratitude and also be looking at you know, the things that you need to?
Probably.
Facing the things in your life.
Yes, I would say so, yes. I think that probably, you know, when you are putting a face on things, but you know that things aren't perhaps as you want them to be, then obviously you are not confronting, but you're aware, you know, and you just don't really want to spend the time or energy to sort something out.
Yeah. Some people think that a gratitude philosophy is actually about perspective, that it's how we look at our life. And so, you know, although some people may say, oh, you're not dealing with the real world or reality as it really is, that there's an aspect of, well, what is reality, and do we each get to create that for ourselves? Is that something you've thought about?
Well, I think that a lot of negativity or feeling, you know, that you can't be grateful or in denial about being grateful stems from childhood. Both my parents were very negative, and it was always, no you can't, oh no you can't. And so I started life out believing that I couldn't achieve anything, and those powerful words, no you can't, really had great power in having to come to terms with the fact that I can and that I could. So a lot of it is developmental from right. childhood, I think.
Yeah. So if your parents have an attitude of seeing the good things and having hope, then it would really help you going forward in your life.
I think one's got to be encouraged. Yes. Encouragement's huge. If it's discouragement all the time, or not acknowledging that you could achieve something, then obviously you've got a problem.
Yes, yeah. Well, thank you very much for your opinions. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you very much.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations. And I want to thank everybody who took part this week, in particular because it was exceptionally cold. And so talking to me required a certain degree of stoicism, even more than usual when I'm asking people really quite deep questions apropos of nothing on the street. So I'm always very grateful for everyone who stops and talks to me. And the purpose of the first hour is to try to ask questions that make us think. So I hope that might have been your experience listening to the show tonight. The idea is just to kind of start a thought process, a conversation in our own minds about a topic that maybe we've thought about before, maybe we haven't. But, you know, thinking about it in perhaps new ways, triggered by what we hear other people saying. Remember that you can check out all the previous shows at the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com. If you enjoy this show tonight, tell your friends about it, send them to the website, they'll be able to hear the podcast. And in the past, we've had some very, very stimulating topics and some great arts guests, so you can check them out there. And speaking of arts guests, next up is my special guest this week from the arts, author, illustrator and printer Michael Wirtz. He's based in Oakland, in California, and he creates images for books, products, designers, ad agencies, musicians, publishers, and movie trailers. He starts off with pencil drawings and finishes with digital collages, monoprints, letterpress prints, and screen prints. And I'm particularly interested in printing. It's a somewhat mysterious process to me, so I'm definitely going to be asking him about that. He has got all kinds of clients, from the San Francisco Chronicle to the New York Times, Nike, the SF MoMA, and he also is the author of the delightful illustrated book Dog Days, which, if you love dogs, and even if you don't, is a fabulous book. And with co-author, poet Betty Franco, who is James Franco's mother, he's got three books: A Curious Collection of Cats, A Dazzling Display of Dogs, and the recently released A Spectacular Selection of Sea Critters. Gosh, quite a mouthful there, but they're all really lovely books. So his images are so distinct and really work well in a visual format with the poetry. So I'm looking forward to finding out how he started out on his arts career and what inspires him. I hope you'll join us. I'll see you after the break.